The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. Today, I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel from last week. Professor Beth Oljar.
It sounded like you said bad Mayo.
It is. I made some big mistakes this week.
Episode now or what?
Yes, everything is going to be topsy-turvy or cattywampus, depending on where you grew up in this country. When I was living in southern Illinois, going to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign for my graduate work, people said cattywampus all the time, and I felt like I was on another planet. That's all I have to say.
Do you know the origins of that that term?
I'm sorry?
Do you know where that term came from?
Are you going to make me go to Snopes.com and see whether it's an urban legend or not?
I'll look it up after this.
Go for it.
Because somebody I used to work with in engineering used to use that term all the time.
It's very common.
Yeah. I don't understand from the word where it would have come from.
Like, so anyway. Fluffle
Okay. I do not know. I thought you were going to say that it, Professor Dan Maggio of the first organization, that you were going to say something that it had some sort of deep-seated gender bias, racial roots, and we should never use it. I've heard all of those urban legends before.
It was used during the Third Reich. So. Oh.
Well, you never know.
No.
Yeah. Nazis. I hate these guys.
So great. Now, let me know if you do the research, because, well, in the same sort of general category, I had, growing up, Kitty Corner, and yes. Always thought of it as K-I-D-D, but then everybody down there said Catty Corner, specifically said Catty Corner. Yeah. I never heard that before.
Yeah. Where's James Tubbs when we need him for all these regional dialects?
Yeah. He's in Washington, D.C., not able to see anything because everything's closed.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's having the vipers.
They even laid the Washington Monument on its side. No viewing
allowed. I love you, Jim, buddy. You know that.
Oh, all right. Professor Dave Chow, give us some classic Medicine Hat local dialect.
We don't have any. We just play hockey and just drink beer all the time, as far as I know. So.
What's that about?
Pretty much. We have the world's largest totem pole. No, wigwam. The world's largest wigwam.
Okay. How big is it?
Huge. It blew over a couple years ago. So.
Wow.
It was big, I told you.
Wow. Yeah, and you have the Tigers up there too, don't you?
Yes, we do.
That's pretty cool. Again, we're joined by our guest panelist, Professor Edwin DeWint from History. Happy to have you back.
Oh, happy to be back.
Excellent. Your total velocity was zero between the two shows, but nobody who listens needs to hear that.
Well, what do you want?
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. Vectors. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Or you can send the questions USPS, as long as it's working, to College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. The government shut down.
I'm still waiting for semaphore right about now.
Yes. Smoke signals. We have a wonderful set of questions carried over from our last show from Julie Elder of Poughkeepsie, New York, giving us four actors and actresses, and we had to find out what movie they were from. Our last set was James Sicking, John Larroquette, Robin Curtis, and Christopher Lloyd. That was Star Trek III, The Search for Spock.
That's right. Robin Curtis was the first Savick.
That's right. Exactly.
Who was
exactly.
John Larroquette?
He was one of the Klingons.
He was a young man in that film.
He came down with Christopher Lloyd.
Mm-hmm. Now, how are you supposed to be able to tell that John Larroquette is dressed up as a Klingon?
I couldn't tell if it was...
Read the credits?
You know that's a great movie, by the way. Star Trek III is a great movie.
No, it's not, because it's not one of the even-numbered ones. All the even-numbered ones are good. All the odd-numbered ones are bad.
That's true, except for in the alternate universe, it's the opposite logic.
Lava.
Best review of this last summer Star Trek movie I ever read. One sentence. Sting. Uma Thurman, Jonathan Pryce, Eric Idle.
Dune?
Dune, thank you.
It's not Dune.
Oh!
But a very, very famous liar.
Munchausen.
Yes, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Sure. Excellent movie. Yep.
Absolutely. Alfred Molina, Michelle Pfeiffer, Rutger Hauer, Matthew Broderick.
I was going to say Spider-Man with Molina.
No.
Molina, Pfeiffer, Hauer, Broderick. Something piqued your interest, Beth.
Well, I know it's the one where she and Rutger Hauer are cursed.
Huh.
And they...
I've never seen this.
Oh,
like she's a wolf by day and he's a wolf by night.
Lady Hawk.
Lady Hawk
is the name of it. Wow, yes. Very well done.
As soon as you said Kurt, okay, got it. Yeah, you know, I was going to say Fabulous Baker Boys, but I knew that wasn't it. So,
how about Michael Palin, Catherine Hellman, Jonathan Pryce, Ian Holm? I think we already heard it a minute ago, Dan.
Brazil,
yes, absolutely. Oh. Now there is a movie that'll put hair on your chest.
Yeah, that's take all it I off.
Have to say yes, if you can keep your brain together to finish it off. Alan Arkin, Anthony Michael Hall, Vincent Price, Diane Wiest.
What?
Yeah, that is Vincent a crazy Price? Combination.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Alan Arkin, Anthony Michael Hall, Vincent Price, Diane Wiest. A modern filmmaker who is very, very well known for a playful but dark.
Is it Hannah and Her Sisters?
It's not Hannah and Her Sisters.
Is it Woody Allen?
It is not.
I'm thinking like,
if I
Price,
continue to go down other actors and actresses I know are in it, Winona Ryder was in it.
Edward Scissorhands.
Yes. So that's a...
The Inventor.
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton.
Oh, sure. Anthony Michael Hall was the football player. Yes.
The guy who picked on Edward Scissorhands.
Picked on him, yes. Mm-hmm.
I was just trying to think, Vincent Price. I haven't seen him on screen in forever and a day, so...
That's true. How about the voice of Dan Castellaneta and also Dakota Fanning, Kelly Preston, and Alec Baldwin?
Alec Baldwin.
Dakota...
The world's greatest
actor. Dakota Fanning, Kelly Preston, and just the voice of Dan Castellaneta. I think he was the voice of a fish in what otherwise was a live-action movie. And it was a horrible live-action movie that also starred Mike Myers in the lead role.
Oh.
Not So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Nope.
Sounds like a... Not a very memorable
Dakota Fanning. Guy.
Well, memorable from the point of view of the nostalgia, but the continued, dare I use the word rape, of the works of Dr. Seuss will go on unabated.
Is this Grinch Who Stole Christmas?
It was The Cat in the Hat.
Right.
At the end of the movie, yes. And nothing like seeing the Lorax's message plastered all over commercialism to blur the original intent of the book a couple of years ago. But Danny DeVito's short, and so's the character. Don't you get it? I don't know who green lights these things, but I'm pretty sure they're from my generation. Billy Barty, Tim Curry, Robert Picardo, Tom Cruise. Uh-oh.
Oh,
everybody look at Dan.
Tim Curry and Tom Cruise.
Barty, Curry, Barty, Picardo, Cruise. Wow. It's a one-word title that begins with the letter L.
Oh, Legend.
Picture. Yeah, it's Legend is what it's called. I can't picture who Billy Barty is.
He's a short gentleman.
He's like a short. He's
like
a
Danny
dwarf.
DeVito.
Like Danny DeVito. Short. Well,
no.
You know what? I got a short animated character he could play.
He's actually a dwarf.
I don't even.
Okay.
I've never heard of Legend.
Person. Yes. Kathy Griffin, Rob Schneider, F. Murray Abraham, Jeffrey Tambor.
F. Murray Abraham?
Now, these are some funny people.
Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin, Rob Schneider, F. Murray Abraham, Jeffrey Tambor. A very fairly recent movie from the last 10 years.
Was it the one where Rob Schneider changes into a...
What, the animal?
Or an animal?
No. We're not going that low, but we're pretty close.
I mean, pretty much anything with him in it is a
low
movie,
a carrot or something like that.
Let's just say that the skin color of the main character in this movie was a deep, fuzzy green...
The Grinch?
Not the Grinch.
Deep fuzzy green. Oscar the Grouch? Who else?
Not Oscar.
Kermit.
Kermit. It's Muppets in Space was the name of the movie. And sadly, since my youth is based around all the wonderful Muppet movies and the bringing together of lots of comedy minds, they just don't seem to be flying in the modern era. People don't see it the same way. Lots of comedians get together, have fun with puppets, and no one goes to see them anymore. It's kind of sad.
Can't imagine
all the actors doing all the voiceover, too. Give the voiceover folks work, because Lord knows they got faces and not meant for screens.
That's true. Like Frank Oz. Pam Grier. George Carlin, William Sadler, Keanu Reeves.
Pam Grier?
Not Jackie Brown.
No. Not Jackie Brown, but think Carlin and Reeves, and you're probably halfway there.
It's with the two kids in the phone booth.
Mm-hmm.
Bill and Ted's
Bogus Journey. It's actually the
Bogus Journey.
It was their Bogus Journey.
Oh, we deserve credit for it.
Previously titled Bill and Ted Go to Hell, but they couldn't get it past the censors. Because they meet up with Death, and it's actually pretty funny. They have to play death in a game of their choosing for their souls. So they constantly, you know, bring out every 80s era board game that, and death loses every time for no reason whatsoever. Operation Best 4 of 7. Let's go. You know, very, very funny stuff. Whoopi Goldberg, Alan Ruck, Malcolm McDowell, LeVar Burton. The great LeVar Burton.
The great LeVar Burton. Hey, is it Star Trek?
It's a Star Trek movie. Which one?
First Contact.
No. Generations.
Generations.
Alan Ruck is the new captain of the Enterprise.
That's right.
And Kirk gets killed.
That's right.
You're right.
Great man. Yeah, right.
He was the guy who was Ferris Bueller's sidekick with the Gordie Howe jersey.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're right.
James Tiberius Kirk does not die.
He just gets transported to another universe.
Well, in proof of Dan's...
Where the movies are worse.
To confuse the audiences, they stopped putting numbers and just start having just general titles so that people wouldn't try to say, is this one
going
to suck?
That's what people can't say. That's going to be an odd movie. We're not going.
Exactly. We're not going, right. Just skip over those and only make even-numbered movies. Makes perfect sense.
Now we're going to start counting letters in the title. That's all.
Rip Torn, Tony Shalhoub, Carol Struycken, and Tommy Lee Jones.
Carol Struycken played Lurch in Addams Family?
Oh, that's right. Yep, and he was in this movie. I remember.
And he was also in Star Trek as Mr. Hom.
Tony Shalhoub, Rip Torn, Tommy Lee Jones. There's a
Men
name.
Men in Black.
Yes, there's a name. If I said
sure.
Then you'd be all over it, right?
Yep.
Dean Stockwell, Kyle MacLachlan, and Sting. I think you said this one.
That's Dune.
That's Dune.
For sure.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Dan, have you read Dune?
No.
Okay, I'm surprised.
You've just seen the movie, right?
The movie's great.
Yeah, okay. It's like sort of a sci-fi sort of thing, right?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, it came to this, folks. Professor Dave Chow sent envelopes with break in case of emergency on the front of them, so we're going to crack one of these bad boys open. So
I get to play guest host for a little bit?
You get to play guest host. These are, sadly, I had to look at them. Open the envelope, but while we do the amnesia ray, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I'm your host, Edmund DeWitt, and today we've got them all. The whole panel is right here today.
Should we hold hands? They won't do anything.
Magic circle.
Is that some kind of Unitarian ritual? You know, my in-laws always do this at Christmas and stuff. You know, they do that.
They eat dinner holding hands.
Yes. Oh, God. That was fun. Okay. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Well, it's less of a pleasure to be here than it sometimes is. They won't touch me.
Can't take a chance.
Oh, you wanted to hold hands, George.
George, put your pants back on. We will.
And on George's right... The assistant dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Kathy Bush. Schaefer.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'd like to hold hands with Kathy anytime.
But you'd have to do it over George. Wow, that's intriguing.
All right.
And on Kathy's right from the Department of History, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Well, hi, Edwin.
Hi, Sarah. Sarah's right from the Department of English, Professor Claire Schumann-Hank Crabtree.
What?
All you gotta do is say cheers, Edmund.
No, I'm gonna sulk until I find out what that means. Cheers. Okay.
Madame Schumann-Hank was a very famous contralto.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, who toured the entire Western world in the 20th century, giving farewell concerts for about 35 years.
My forebear, Lotta Crabtree, as people in California might know, made millions of dollars singing.
Ooh, wow.
Operetta style, music hall style stuff around the turn of the century. Earlier than the turn of the century. Lotta.
Neat. Lotta. It was her house that they were going through last week with all those questions. The antiques and the jewels.
She left it to veterans and horses.
Good for her.
Okay. Well.
That's what they said.
No, Schumann-Hank. I should also. I should also.
And we are back with some wonderful questions about to be supplied by one of our panelists, Professor Dave Chow, after listening to the dulcet and sorely missed tones of Professor Kathy Bush. So we have a new policy on the show. The boss made me do it.
Plausible deniability.
We have panelists who become guest hosts for a round of questions, and Professor Dave Chow has put a very interesting set of questions together about something close to his heart,
Cartoons.
Cartoons.
Animations.
Excellent.
Are we going to know any of these?
Of course. Okay. I'm not going to make it that obscure.
As a matter of fact, I think you were the one that said we should make sure it's at a level appropriate for the rest of the panel. Oh, Dan is the one that said that.
Right. Okay. Dan said dumb it down, pretty much. Just dumb it down.
And then his math questions were really hard.
They were not.
I'm joking.
By the way, did I ever finish them?
No.
Yes, you did.
You did?
No,
yes, you
I had two more to go.
Okay, well, I guess what? I will find it in the pile here while I'm Professor Chow kidding. Reads the questions that I've already looked at.
We'll I know I did ask do. The last one because the last one, never mind. I don't want to take, I'm taking away
You're
from
not,
Dave's
no.
spotlight.
Let's do Dave's
spotlight. Oh, what spotlight? Okay.
Go for it, Professor
Chow.
First
question. What animated feature was the first to have synchronized sound?
Not animated Steamboat feature. Willie.
Steamboat Willie it is.
Ah.
So, see, it wasn't that bad.
All right.
All right, next.
Can I give
Wait,
that
can
answer
I ask a question?
Every question?
So the sound was in sync with the video?
Yes.
So before that, it wasn't?
Silent.
For animation.
It was silent.
Yes. It was okay. Silence, or if you guys ever get a chance to go down the DIA, the film theater, when the Alloy Orchestra is playing yes. there. Yes. Was it last time I saw them, we saw Metropolis.
Oh, yes.
And, well, this is with the 20 minutes of additional footage they found in Argentina. Oh, and then what happened was, as the DVD's playing, it stopped. It froze. But the Alloy Orchestra kept on playing for 20 minutes.
I thought you were saying that they held the note.
No. They kept on playing and playing, hoping the poor guy in the projection booth could hit the play button and get it going. Oh, they actually got a standing ovation for
wow,
it. So it was pretty interesting. But hearing live orchestra with the film is
That's
wonderful.
That's cool,
so.
Though. Yes.
All right. What Bugs Bunny short was the first one deemed culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant by the United States Library of Congress and selected for preservation by the National Film Registry?
The Barber of Seville.
What's the title of it?
The Barber of Seville.
No, that's not. No.
Well, it's...
Is it like called Hunting Season or Rabbit Season or something like that?
No, it has to do with the genre. There's a musical genre in it.
Opera.
Yes.
Operatic?
Yes. It's What's Opera Doc?
Ah, of course. Oh, very nice. Yeah. Very nice pun.
But that's the one where they do the take-off.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
That's really
next,
a great
Next, I'm going to have to pull out a pen because I'm going to have to start checking off things here. Name the American Film Institute's top 10 animated features.
Features?
AFI top 10 animated features.
I'm going to come out and say that Beauty and the Beast has to be on that list.
Beauty and the Beast, yes.
What's the one from the
30s? The Little Mermaid has to be.
The Little Mermaid is not on here.
That's just wrong.
Huh.
What's the Disney one from the 30s? The first?
Which Disney?
Snow White and
with
the Seven Dwarves.
Snow White.
With Mickey Mouse.
Oh, it was there. Snow White.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarves on there. You got two so far. There's eight more to go.
Oh, you're talking about Fantasia?
Yeah, Fantasia.
Fantasia is on here.
Wow, Disney... Terrific here.
Lady and the Tramp.
No.
It should be.
Beth is going to have her own film institute before long.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you give us a general year for the most recent one that's there?
Usually in the late 40s, early 50s. Yeah. There is one, let's see.
Cinderella?
Yes, Cinderella.
Okay.
There is, let's see, there's one from Pixar. How's about that?
Oh, it must be Toy Story.
Okay, Toy Story. One more regarding, we were talking about earlier regarding the fish.
Oh, Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo. Mm-hmm. Okay, and let's
just
see.
Keep swimming.
Two more Disney ones with animals. How about that?
Wow, that doesn't narrow it down at all.
What's the one with the dogs and the
Lion
spaghetti?
King.
Lady and the Tramp.
Lady and the Tramp. Did we already say that?
No,
yes,
it's not on there.
It's not on there.
It's not there.
Bambi. That was Dan's.
We got one more Disney one with the little boy.
Pinocchio?
Jungle
Pinocchio.
Book.
Pinocchio. Oh, Pinocchio. Okay. Very cool.
Okay, next. What are the actors that provide the voices for The Simpsons' Itchy and Scratchy?
I have to recuse myself.
No, you don't.
Let's just say it's the two, I'll give them the clue, that it's the two actors that do the most voices yes. on the show overall.
Well, there's
Castellaneta.
Castellaneta.
Hank Azaria.
And not Hank Azaria, but... Very close after that. Very famous 70s.
Married
80s,
to
Julie Kavner?
No.
Male.
There's only so many.
This is Spinal Tap.
Yes.
Rob Reiner?
Nope. No. No.
He was once a.
Spinal Tap. It's
he
not.
He was also on Saturday Night Live at one point.
Yep.
He was from the Happy Days.
Was he on Happy Days?
Was he one of the little Lenny and Squiggy? You're not talking about Lenny?
No. Michael McKean.
He does almost all of the secondary character
voices.
With
the goop, the goofy eyes and Spinal Tap and the thick black mustache.
He was also one of the members of the synchronized swim team, too.
Yes. Yes, from Saturday Night Live.
Initials HS.
I know. Harry Shearer.
There we go.
There we go.
Okay. What animated duo lived in the town of Highland?
Highland?
Animated Highland. Duo?
Duo. Animated duo.
Boris and Natasha?
No. Tom and Jerry. No. Huh. It was... I have a friend of mine who animated the first ones. It appeared on MTV originally.
Oh, Beavis Ren and Butthead. Stimpy?
Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead. Sure.
Kay. I never watched that.
I never watched that.
Well, it's pretty funny. Pretty funny.
What is the name of the John Lovitz character, The Critic? Anybody remember those?
I remember The Critic.
Yep. It's put on by Film Roman back in the late 80s. He was a film critic.
Some of the...
He would spar with Ebert and Siskel you know.
I remember the show, but I don't remember what his name was.
Jay Sherman.
Okay.
On the TV show Futurama, who is credited with inventing the technology to keep heads alive in jars?
The whole show revolves around the fact that most
historical characters
celebrities
could be preserved.
Preserved in jars.
Matt Groening? I mean, did he invent
actually a famous inventor.
So Thomas Edison?
Not Ben Franklin?
Well, he's famous, but more infamous. How's about that?
Infamous inventor?
Yes.
Oh. Evil?
No, not... I wouldn't say evil.
No, he's a modern infomercial guy.
Yes.
The ShamWow dude?
Not the ShamWow guy.
Closer. You're
and it's not, what's his face, who passed away a few years ago? Billy Mays.
No, not Billy Mays. But along that genre.
He was most known for inventing that oven that would take the whole turkey and it would turn it. You guys remember?
The food dehydrator.
The food dehydrator. Yes.
I don't.
Oh, it's on Edmund. It's on the tip. Right. Ron
Mobile. Yeah, Ron Mobile.
That's infamous, isn't it?
Yes. But that's not all. All I know is that they had one episode of Futurama. One episode of Futurama, he was announcing the Nobel Prizes. And he'd only done a couple. And then when it went back to his head, because his own head was in the jar, he goes, but wait, that's not all. We still have the literature prize to give. It was such a great joke.
Oh, man. Okay, Beth, here's one you should know. What are the full names of the four main characters on South Park?
Oh, yes.
Eric Cartman.
Okay, full names.
Stan Marsh.
Uh-huh.
Kyle Brofzlowski.
Uh-huh.
Kenny McCormick.
There you go. Look at that.
Outstanding.
Wow. Okay, excellent.
Very well done.
What was the name of the Emmy Award-winning animation showcase that appeared on MTV in the 1990s?
Did you ever have anything to do with that?
No, I did not. I was still in school.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I was a wee little lad.
Wait.
Okay. It was a showcase.
In the 90s?
Yes. The Eon Flux, they had a whole bunch of other...
It has to do with one of the three phases of matter, right?
Yes.
Liquid.
Gas.
And where would it appear? Liquid.
Paper?
No. Where? It was a medium. How's about that? Liquid. Where would you watch this?
Liquid television.
Liquid television.
Yep, that's what it was called.
Okay.
I hadn't thought about that.
And the very last one was, what fictional character was Yogi Bear's mannerisms based off of? What fictional character was Yogi Bear's mannerisms based off of?
Hey, boo-boo.
Smarter than the average bear.
So an animated character was based on another character.
Yes, it was based on another animated character.
No, based on another TV character, right?
TV character, yes. Yeah. Yogi Bear was based off of a fictional TV character. Early television.
Jackie Gleason in The Honeymooners.
Keep going. You're in the wheelhouse.
Honeymooners. You're in the wheelhouse.
The other guy from The Honeymooners.
The other guy. Domingo. There's so many guys in The Honeymooners.
It was Art Carney, right?
Art Carney.
But what character was he playing, right?
Yes. Ed Norton.
Ed Norton was his name. Yep. After the success, because I already brought it up, of The Jungle Book, where basically every character was patterned after the mannerisms of the person who did their voice, like Baloo was supposed to be
Phil Harris.
Yeah, they even had him dancing around the studio. Oh, man, oh,
just
man. Dan, your last two questions are going to have to wait till the next show because we've got to say goodbye. Professor Chow.
See ya. Panda.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor DeWint.
Bye.
Professor Oljar.
Bye.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors and their guests in a special session of unrehearsed questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWint. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, sure. As always.
Sure.
And to his far right, from the Department of History, right. Professor Greg Sumner.
Yeah, do we get, like, door prizes or something?
Is that like the radical right? Oh,
yeah. No, not really. He couldn't accuse Greg of being that at all.
Can we turn in our meal ticket for a door prize?
I don't see why not. Okay. Sure. He's back. Kevin Sajak.
The Lazarus of piano
the
players.
The Lazarus of piano players, yes.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
We're glad to have you here. Most of the questions, certainly, you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. Before we start with our questions from the people out there in Radioland.
Oh, I know it's coming.
We have the producer's questions.
Oh, these are always...
Our producer, Melissa Samuel.
Ungrammatical, historical, all the vices. Go ahead.
What is the last name of the architect who designed the General Motors Tech Center? He also did Cranbrook.
Sirin. Yes. Sirin, yeah,
that's right.
The Finn.
Sure. I'm going to throw in Dulles Airport next.
And he designed the first co-ed dorm at the University of Chicago.
Really?
Well.
Imagine my surprise in the fall of 1959, coming out of the protected atmosphere of Bates College to a place where they were throwing open co-ed dorms.
Wow.
I mean, at Bates, women were signing in and out in those days. Mm-hmm.
Imagine my surprise in 1968 going to Michigan State University and having a roommate who had all his kilos of marijuana mailed to our room in my name so he wouldn't be arrested.
Very thoughtful man.
It was. I was.
It was a man, wasn't it?
Indeed it was.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, ask the professor.
I don't want to just read the book. I want to write the book.
I don't want to just work for the company. I want to own the company.
I don't want to just live in the building. I want to design the building.
To some, those might sound like rather lofty goals, maybe a little out of reach.
I don't want to drive a sports car. Well, I do. I want to engineer one.
At University of Detroit Mercy, those are the people we want. The big thinkers, the dreamers, because those are the people who make things happen. Great things for themselves and others. And if you're one of them, either just out of high school or ready to transfer, UDM will make it happen for you. Call 1-800-635-5020 today or apply online at www.udmercy.edu. It's not too late.
I don't want to just hope for the cure. I want to discover the cure.
University of Detroit Mercy. We want great things for you.
As the professor is transcribed to the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. As the professor is produced and technically directed today by Michael Jason. And our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Thank you.